Well, hey, good morning, Journey Church. It's really great to see all of you here. Those of you who are here in person, if you are online right there, I'm really thankful that you decided to spend your Sunday morning with us. So thank you for being here. I feel like I'm all over the place. We're good? Christmas, I don't know if you know this or not, is done. Is it? Some cheers? I didn't know. Who wishes we had two more weeks of Christmas? Anybody? A handful of you? Teachers? Oh, yes. Yep, I can picture that. I hope, though, over your Christmas season or during that time that you got to spend time with family. They had really good opportunities to build some memories and to just share that time together, especially if there's some of that family that you don't get to see very often, that you had good times there. And while it is clear, and we talk about all the time, getting gifts and presents are not the reason for Christmas, I do hope that you received some nice things, but that also you got to see the look of delight and enjoyment on the faces of those people that you specifically bought gifts for, right? That is always a great thing. This morning, we are going to be talking a little bit about gifts. And what's interesting is that as I was putting this together and realizing that we'll be talking about gifts, I then realized that just about every time I get to speak right around Christmas, I talk about gifts. In fact, usually I have a big box that I just set right here and just say, here's what we're talking about. But I think that this is the perfect time to talk about gifts, to bring them up, because we've had gifts on the brain for the last 3-4 weeks, except for some of you crazy people who bought your Christmas gifts in June. We've been thinking about gifts, and so why not spend the end of the year talking about the greatest gift a person could ever receive? And that greatest gift is? Whew, I'm really glad you said that, otherwise I was going to have to do a whole new sermon. It is Jesus. Jesus is the greatest gift. This year, though, instead of talking about what it means for Jesus to be the greatest gift a person could ever receive, this morning, I want to focus more on what it means to actually receive Jesus as the greatest gift, because I believe that not only is he the greatest gift, but he is the gift that keeps on giving. Have you ever received a gift like that? Maybe a gym membership that helps you feel healthier over time, or a family recipe that was passed down to you where every time you get to cook from it, you get those feelings of nostalgia. You get to remember what it was like when grandma made spaghetti. Or maybe a goldfish cracker, the snack that smiles back. When I think of a gift that keeps on giving, I think of this scene right here from The Office, which, as some of you might know, is one of my favorite TV shows of all time. In this scene, Jim has given Pam a teapot at their Secret Santa office party. Not only was this teapot something that he knew that she wanted, he also stuffed on the inside a number of bonus gifts, little inside jokes and memorable, meaningful things. The teapot was the main gift. That was the main gift, but there was so much more to it because it came with bonus gifts. I think sometimes as Christians, many of us see the initial gift of Jesus as our ticket into heaven, which isn't wrong. Scripture is pretty clear about that. I mean, even from the most famous Bible verse that anybody has ever known, right? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life, right? And so Jesus is the gift that gets us into heaven. That is true. But what if I told you that following Jesus isn't just about where you go when you die, that it's also about how you can experience life right now? Because I think so often we miss out on or just simply forget that there is so much more to being in relationship with Jesus. And so here's the thing that I want us to walk away with this morning. With Jesus, there is hope for our future and our today. And to flesh this out, we'll be spending some time in my favorite chapter of the Bible, Romans 8. And so if you've got your Bibles, won't you turn there with me right now? If you don't have your Bibles, but you do have a smart device, you can point your camera to one of the screens. There it is right there. And that QR code will take you to the exact same passage. We're going to take a walk through Romans 8, and as we do, I'm going to be pointing out 9 different bonus gifts that come along with following Jesus. Now, we're only going to look at 9. There are more. In fact, on one of my first runs through this, I counted about 20. And so, a nice little challenge if you're looking for something to do this afternoon or while you're eating lunch together, read through Romans 8. How many bonus gifts can you find in there? Now, again, because I'll be talking about 9 different gifts, there are some times that it's going to feel like I'm just skimming the surface, and you'd be right. But my goal this morning isn't to unwrap every one of these gifts and to shine a light on every single nook and cranny, but instead to almost overwhelm you with how much more there is to having a relationship with Jesus than just heaven. Because with Jesus, there is hope for our future and our today. With each one of these bonus gifts, I'm going to be giving a quick explanation, sharing a couple of verses, but my hope is that you'll see how this gift gives you hope for your future and today. Okay, so here we go. Bonus gift number 1, no condemnation. Let's pull this open here. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Before Jesus, the Jews had the law of Moses, which God gave to Moses to give to the rest of the Israelites, which was an extensive list of rules for best living, as well as ways for them to live best with God and their neighbors. But what we find in the book of Romans is that Paul mentions that no matter how hard somebody tries or how well a person might follow these laws, no one can keep them all, creating this struggle between knowing what's right and doing what's right. Paul says in the previous chapter, chapter 7, he says, "For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing." And I think we probably all are familiar with that. We have felt that before. And it's this failure to keep every aspect of the law that brings condemnation. It brings a guilty verdict before a perfect and holy God. And that brings punishment and separation from Him forever. Because you see, the law is really only good for pointing out sin, showing us our guilt, not taking it away. And so the solution, as Paul says there in the first verse of chapter 8, verse 1, the solution is being in Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. For those who have placed their faith and trust in Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, who have confessed with their mouth that Jesus is Lord, that they are declaring that He has the right to tell them how to live, that they have believed in their heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. That makes a person in Christ. And those who are in Christ, there is no condemnation. There is no rule or law that you could break. There is no verdict of guilt that Jesus did not cover with His own life. Scripture also tells us, "For our sake, He, being God, made Him, Jesus, to be sin who knew no sin." Jesus didn't sin. Jesus wasn't guilty, but He took our place. So that in Him, in Christ, we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus took all of your sin, all of its punishment, and in return, you get His righteousness. You get His blamelessness. You get His perfection. So that when God looks on you, He doesn't see your failure. He doesn't see the rules that you've broken. He doesn't see the struggle that you have to do what's right. He sees the righteousness of His Son, Jesus Christ, which was a gift given freely to you. And so this is where we find our hope today. Because of this gift of Jesus, we are able to stand in confidence before the Lord, to even turn back to Him in those times of our greatest failures, knowing that he doesn't condemn us, but draws us into deeper relationship with him. Now, if this gift, this bonus gift of no condemnation were it, I think we'd be okay. That's a pretty great place to stop right there. But wait, there's more. Bonus gift number two, freedom in the Spirit. Romans 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Again, Paul is referring to the law of Moses as the law of sin and death, which only had the power to reveal sin, but could not set a person free. And so then the law of the Spirit is the work of the Holy Spirit, the third member of the Trinity. Sin holds us captive and only brings death and destruction, but the Holy Spirit brings freedom and life forever. In the book of John, Jesus says, "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." And it is this freedom that produces a transformed life. And as you trust that the Spirit really is within you and has truly set you free, you will slowly recognize sin's grip on your life, loosening and loosening, allowing you to experience the freedom that comes from the Spirit. With Jesus, there is hope for our future and our today. Bonus gift number three, the Spirit lives in us. We're going to skip down to 8:11. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus or Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Again, Paul is saying that if you are in Christ, you also have the Holy Spirit. He is in you. And that same power that raised Christ from the dead is also in you. That's in you right now, where you're sitting. That same power that raised Christ from the dead is in you. Always. Wherever you go, he goes. And with the power, or with the Holy Spirit being in you, there are actually a couple additional bonus gifts that come with this. There is the promise of a future resurrection, that in the end, you will be resurrected with Christ. There is also the ability to resist sin. Did you know that the sin in your life is not there because you just can't handle it, just because you don't know how to get rid of it? Because of the Holy Spirit being in you, you have the ability to resist sin. Because the Holy Spirit lives in you, you also have the strength to endure suffering, which we'll cover here in just a minute. And the Holy Spirit living in you will also be a source of strength for you, ensuring that you are never abandoned in your struggles. Jesus said, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever." Right, that helper is the Holy Spirit. He is there to be with you forever. With Jesus, the Spirit lives in you, giving you a future hope for resurrection and hope for today, knowing that you will never be alone. All right, bonus gift number four, we can call God Abba, Father. Romans 8:15. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. I love this one. This one speaks to my heart. If you are in Christ, in that very moment that you first believe, you go from a child of slavery and death to a child of God, who is free and alive. When Paul wrote this, when you were adopted into a family, it didn't come with the adoption label, right? You weren't referred to as somebody's adopted son or somebody's adopted daughter. When you were adopted, it would be as if you always had been, that you were always a part of that family. And so in the same way, adoption into God's family is also a legal and relational act where as a believer, you are granted full rights and privileges as though you had been with God from the very beginning. And by being with God from the very beginning, that makes you co-heirs with Christ. Meaning that as a believer, you share in everything that belongs to Jesus. His glory, his kingdom, and his eternal reign. And so because of your adoption into God's family, you can have hope in your today that as you approach him with whatever needs you have, he will respond with the same loving kindness, grace, patience, and compassion that a loving father does when he reaches down to pick up his sweet child. The author of the book of Hebrews says, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Because with Jesus, there is hope for our future and our today. Bonus gift number 5, our bodies will be redeemed. Romans 8:23. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. There will be a time when all of creation, along with our own physical bodies, where we will be restored to the way that God had designed them before sin stepped in and tainted and destroyed and broke everything. And this is a promise. This is a hope for the future for those who are in Christ, that again, the sickness, the diseases, the pain, that even the effects of sin on our lives and on our bodies will be wiped away. They'll be gone. There will be no more. In the book of Revelation, we get a little bit of a glimpse of what this will look like. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Our current physical and emotional struggles and pains are not permanent. We pray right now, even today, for relief from them, knowing that God can and sometimes does heal us from those. But even if we don't experience it now, as children of God, as people who are in Christ, we have hope that one day we will experience freedom from that in the future. There will be redemption for our bodies. Because with Jesus, there is hope for our future and our today. And so then, kind of along those same lines, when our physical and emotional struggles are not healed in the here and the now, bonus gift number 6, there is help in our weakness. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. For those who are in Christ, for those who have the Holy Spirit living within them, who are the literal children of God, the Holy Spirit talks to the Father on our behalf. He intercedes for us. Whether your weakness is emotional, physical, or spiritual, the Spirit knows what you need. He knows it, even if you don't. And that reminds me of Psalm 139. The psalmist writes, "You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether." The Spirit's intercession, right, his prayers on our behalf, ensure that every prayer that we pray is effective and sufficient. Even when we don't know what we're doing. Even when we're not sure what we should be praying for, even in those moments where we feel overwhelmed, lost, and inadequate. And so this right here gives us hope in our everyday, in our day-to-day, knowing that, again, we are never alone, especially in our struggles. And we can have confidence that when we pray, not only does God hear our prayers, but he is actively at work in our lives. And speaking of being actively at work, bonus gift number 7. God takes initiative in our lives. Romans 8, 29 and 30. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. Now, it would be really fun to get into a conversation about predestination and calling and where free will fits into all of that. But what I want you to see from this bonus gift this morning is simply this: God has a plan for your life. Each step of his plan, his foreknowledge, predestination, calling, justification, even glorification, is initiated, meaning that he starts it, and it is secured and kept by God. We talked about this a couple weeks ago, just a little bit, that God promises that he is going to finish what he started in you. God is in charge. He is in control, and nothing can stand in his way of accomplishing his plan for your life, to transform you into having the same character and priorities of Jesus Christ, that you could look and act just like his son, all for his glory. And so not only does God have a plan for your life, his plan for your life brings him joy. The book of Jude describes it this way, describes God as one who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. There's some future hope right there. Right, that God's plan for your life brings him joy, even if you can't see it now, even if it feels impossible, even if it feels like there's no way God's in charge, he is. There is a plan that God has promised to finish, and it's good. Because with Jesus, there is hope for our future and our today. Bonus gift number 8, God is for us. Romans 8, 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Based only off the 7 preceding bonus gifts, what kind of opposition could ever exist? It wouldn't matter if the opposition was human or spiritual or circumstantial. If God is for you, and he is, what could ever stand in your way? The writer of Psalm 18 says, out of my distress I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? For the believer, for the one who has put their faith and trust in Jesus, there is tremendous hope in our today, knowing that no matter where the Spirit leads us, it is not without the security of God and without his support and his favor. I had to read a book once in college called Work of Heart. And in it, there was a whole section about calling. And in it, the author made this statement that God's calling is so sure. God does things in a way that is exact and perfect. God is for you in such a way that if he called you to take on the gates of hell with a squirt gun, you would do it. Because God is for you. There is security in that. And as we read on in those following verses there in Romans, in all of these things, whether tribulation or distress or persecution, famine or nakedness or danger or sword, we are more than conquerors for those who love him. If God is for us, who could ever stand against us? With Jesus, there is hope for our future and our today. And then now here, finally, bonus gift number 9, the last one we'll look at this morning. We receive God's unshakable love. Romans 8, 38 and 39. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And do you hear that? Do you hear the promise that's in there? For those who are in Christ, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Love, God's love is constant, it is unbreakable, and it is eternal. I read somewhere once that Paul's list here emphasizes the invincibility of God's love. Because in this list, you've got external forces and internal forces, but none of them have the power to tip the scale of God's love even one iota. His love for you is fixed, immovable, and permanent. It is impossible for God to love you any more than he does. It's all the way maxed out, and it is impossible for him to love you any less. In the Gospel of John, Jesus is talking about how he is the good shepherd. And he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand." And so what I love about this is this means that even you can't do anything to separate yourself from the love of God. And you might say, "Well, Jesse, you don't know me. You don't know my mess. You don't know the things that I've done. You don't know the things that I'm hiding. You don't know anything about my mess." And you're right. I don't. But I do know that God does. And I do know how great God's love is for you. You cannot out-sin God's love for you. Now, that's not a dare. But you can't. Receiving God's unshakable love means that you are secure, no matter how messy you think that you are. He knows the messes you've made. He knows the messes that you're in. And he knows the messes you've yet to mess. He knows it. And still yet, he chose to call you to himself. He called you by name. He drew you into him so that you might know that he loves you anyways. And so then, because of this unshakable love, it is this love that leads to a kindness that then leads us to repentance, that gives us the strength and the courage to be able to turn from our mess, to turn from the sin that has taken root in our heart, and to turn back to God, to reach up to him with our arms stretched out to our Abba Father, and feeling security and safety in arms of the eternal God. And to know that he's not going anywhere. And right there should be a nice collective sigh of relief. Oh man, that's nice. Because the enemy would want to convince you that your mess is too big. That you are beyond saving. That you're not good enough. But for those who are in Christ, all of the things on that list are true. There's no condemnation. The Spirit is with you, and you've been given strength to fight back against sin, knowing that God loves you, God is for you, and he's not going anywhere. And so with that, we have our 9 gifts. And so I hope that what you can see is that this relationship with Jesus, there is hope not only for our future, but also for our today. And so looking at this list, what do we do with this? What do we do now with all of these bonus gifts? Well, it just so happens, I've got a couple ideas. For the believers in the room, for those of you who have placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I would ask you to consider these 9 gifts. And this week, I would ask you to pick just one. Reflect on one of them. Maybe one that surprised you, that you didn't realize was there. Or maybe the one that you don't quite believe. But you look at that list and you go, yeah, no, I don't think that's true. And as you reflect on that one, what I would ask you to do is to consider prayerfully, contemplatively, how would your life be different? How would your life change if you believed it every day? Just the one. I mean, if you did that with all of them, that would be amazing. But just the one. How would your life be different if you believed it every day? If it was the bonus gift of no condemnation, maybe you would begin extending grace not only to yourself, but also to those around you. If it was the bonus gift of being able to call on God as Abba, Father, maybe you would be able to approach God with security and trust. If it were the gift of God being for us, maybe you would be able to face opposition without fear, and you would pursue God's leading boldly, knowing that if He's for you, who could be against you? For the believers, I would also encourage you to take the paper that you've probably been taking notes on, and on the back side of it, write your name in all of those blank spaces. And that you would take this and you would set it somewhere that you see often, maybe in those places where you're most often feeling insecurity or doubt, so that you can be reminded of all of the things that are true about you and about the work that God is doing in your life. Because I don't know that I really have to say this from up here. There will be moments when you don't believe it. Those doubts will creep in. And so post this somewhere where you can see it. I've one at my desk because I need to be reminded of this. I forget so easily. If you're looking at this list and you're thinking, I'm in Christ, I have believed in Jesus, but I don't think I experience any of those. And that's a question worth pursuing. Maybe there's something going on in your heart. Maybe there's some things that need to be adjusted. Maybe you've only seen Jesus as your ticket to heaven and haven't realized what this relationship means. So I'm actually excited. Over the next couple of weeks, we're going to start a series there's words in here, I promise. How to check your vital signs. How to check your relationship with God. Where are you at? Because we should be experiencing all of these. These are gifts. These are free gifts from God. So make sure that you're here with us next week as we look at what it means to kind of check our pulse in our relationship with God. Now finally, for the rest of you, those who might still kind of be on the fence about whether or not this whole Jesus thing is real and worth pursuing, I would like to encourage you over the next week or so to ask yourself, what's keeping you? Well, what are the questions that you still have? What are the answers that you are still waiting for? And as you look at this list right here, are there things that you've been going after, that you've been searching for, that just you can't quite get a handle on? The things that you're pursuing to give you these things aren't really working out. I would love the opportunity to help you process through some of these questions, through the things that you're looking for, in a non-pressuring way, I promise. And so if this is you, come find me. I'll be down here after the service, or you can fill out on one of those connect cards that you'd like to meet with the pastor. I will connect with you, and we'll get together. Okay? Drinks are on me. Well, whatever it is, I would love to help you process. Maybe, though, as you've sat here today, you've been like, you know what? I don't need to hear anymore. I'm ready. I've put this off too long, and I'm ready. I would like to turn the corner. I would like to cross that line and receive this gift of Jesus. Come find me down here. I know that feels embarrassing, that you're going to have to walk in front of people. But we're talking about eternity. We're talking about receiving the greatest gift a person could ever receive. There is no amount of embarrassment greater than receiving that great gift. So please come find me. If for some reason you just can't get to me or whatever, we also have people over here on the side, fantastic people who are willing to answer questions, who are willing to pray with you and help you take those first steps. If you feel that tugging on your heart of making a choice, of finally doing this, please don't put it off. Don't put something off for tomorrow that you can take care of today, because tomorrow is not promised. And if all of these gifts and the greatest gift of Jesus is waiting for you right now, why would you wait? Okay? If you feel that tugging on your heart, let's chase after it. Today is the very best day to start following Jesus. So, there you have it. 9 incredible bonus gifts that come with receiving Jesus as the greatest gift of all, the gift that keeps on giving. Now, these gifts aren't just good things to know. They're not fun little factoids, right? They're meant to shape how we live in relationship with God and those around us every day. And so as we get ready to step into a new year, don't leave these gifts unwrapped. They're yours. Take them. Unwrap them. And experience the hope that they bring. Just make sure you take it. Because with Jesus, there is hope for our future and our today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you. Thank you for the things that you give us. Even the things we don't realize we need, God, you still give them. In fact, all of these gifts right here, you gave to us even if we didn't realize you gave them to us. And so we thank you, God, for being at work in such a profound way in our lives that you're meeting the needs we didn't realize we have. Thank you, God, for loving us that much. Thank you for sending your son to pay the penalty, to pay the price that we never could have paid on our own. And that as we believe, as we give our life to Christ, we become in Christ. Setting the stage for everything to change. For us to live in a way that brings you glory. Help us, God, to walk in boldness, to walk in confidence that you are with us, that we are not alone, and that we get to do this together. Thank you, God, for your love. Thank you for your son. And thank you for all of the gifts that you freely give us. We pray these things in Jesus' perfect name. Amen.